Now back to the Green Architects Lounge.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us for one more break. We've got a new format where we're trying to divide this up into three so it fits well with Green Building Advisor. I don't know if you said, but greenbuildingadvisor.com is a great place to go. And you can chime in, join in on this conversation, get involved. You may know something that we haven't covered and would be really valuable for other people to learn and share, especially if you've installed one of these in your own house and have some awesome, you know, war stories and some scars to show, and everyone will learn. That'd be awesome. So that's Green Building Advisor. You can go to the Design Matters blog, where you'll inevitably find us. Anyway, so back with us again is Peter Trost, and our cocktails.
This is part three of the trilogy.
The trilogy.
Not quite an epic, but a trilogy it is.
It feels epic. And our cocktails are refreshing. Now we're gonna wrap things up. So let's get into it. My client's gonna pull the trigger. He wants to do it.
Yeah.
He's listened to the first two podcasts. He's excited. Can't wait to make this happen. So then he asked me, how much does it cost? So Peter, how much does it cost? What are we looking at? What's the hardware? What are we buying?
All right. So summarize the cost. So remember, we've got the sort of simple strap on the meter blue line, $99.
Wow. Piece of cake.
Pretty straightforward, right? The TED, depending on sort of a couple different variables, can be in the $200 to $250 range.
Okay.
For that single whole house monitor. And then when you step up to the circuit by circuit, assuming 24 different circuits, you can get sort of 12 circuits for $699 or 24 for $950, basically. That's the pricing.
Gotcha.
So
I could be up to about $1,000 plus installation on top of that, or is that
Depending on whether you can do the installation yourself or whether you get an electrician in, and again,
you
do recommend, but it's not, you know, it's a for an electrician who knows what they're doing, it's really a pretty easy thing. And the most time consuming part of the installation on the e-monitor is just that process of this circuit is the kid's bedroom,
right,
which hopefully was properly labeled when the electrician set up the...
So there's probably some, you know, testing when you start and working some bugs out.
None of these really, I mean, our e-monitor installation took less than an hour.
Gotcha.
So nothing, you know, nothing too serious. Now, one thing is we didn't talk about, but it's important to know about both the TED products as well as the e-monitor products, is there are versions of these that will measure produced power. So if you've got renewables, if you've got photovoltaics, or even wind, they will also measure what you produce. And this is a really cool thing to see, exactly what your PV production was on any given day, and sort of, you know, it'll net out what you're doing. For folks that are speccing monitoring devices from solar companies, this can be a really cost-effective approach to not only getting the whole house energy monitoring, but also taking care of your renewables monitoring as well.
Nice. And
it seems almost like a no-brainer. Like, boy, these things are working. How do I know they're working at all?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I spent a lot of money for that PV. I want to see some feedback.
That's right.
Now.
Yeah, and detailed too, not just general at the end of the month or end of the year or something like that.
Right, and I think everything we've talked about the ubiquity of the information and where it exists and where do you interface with it in your house and so forth, and so many of those solar things, you know, and projects, I've been to your projects and Bright Built Barn, you know, I got to crawl up a ladder and go into this sort of the attic area and
if we knew then what we know now,
are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
So I think that's another really nice feature of these things as well.
And so will utility companies, will they believe the information coming off of my figures? So what do I do?
I'm glad you brought up utility companies, because that it's important to bring up the whole smart meter thing. You know, we hear about smart meters, and the federal government is throwing gazillions of dollars at this concept of smart meters and so forth. And so let's just be clear with what a smart meter is, right?
Very good.
It'll happen in phases, and I think in time smart meters will be a good thing. Right now, they're doing away with meter readers.
Mm-hmm.
They are just, it's a, it, it, right, we have a nice lady that comes in an orange CMP truck, and she's got a biscuit for Theo.
Yeah.
And she's out of job. She's out of a job because of a smart meter. And that's really what they're doing. So far, these initial installations are really just about no longer needing to drive to the meter in order to read it. It'll transmit the data. Now, the promise of smart meters is, mm-hmm. is much greater than that, but the $64,000 question is, will a smart meter on your outside of your house translate to some device in your house that gives you real-time data?
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see in California, for example, in PG&E, sort of major backlash against the smart meter world, because what the utilities are doing, and this isn't necessarily true in PG&E's case, but in many places they're using smart metering to leverage rates. They're creating tiered rate structures, and they're raising rates, not lowering rates. So the long term sort of cool part of this thing called smart meters is it's going to control a device in your house, and you're going to be willing to say, all right, Mr. Utility, I'm willing to sign up for never using my dryer during a certain number of hours, and hopefully in exchange for that, I'm going to get a nice lower electric rate. But that's a long way away.
So is it going to be like cell phones? Like, I want to buy so many minutes of something like that.
It enables you to make a deal with your utility. I won't use my dryer or my major appliances during peak hours.
So maybe it is to your advantage. If you're a light user,
yeah.
You'd be like, then cut me some slack, cut me a deal.
That's
I'll
right.
I'll be a good user,
right?
As opposed to a big energy hog.
That's right. And it looks like so GE, obviously the major player, mm-hmm. Sort of in the smart meter world, announced a product a couple weeks ago called Nucleus, and it's Nucleus is effectively the kind of device we're talking about the same price point. They said about $149, I think, that mm-hmm. that will live inside your house and talk to your smart meter.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of like for the utility companies, not necessarily for you, or will it have information for you as well?
It'll have information for you, but you've got to buy it from GE. So the smart meter alone does not look like it's going to give you this information. You're going to still have to buy the pay up for the ability to have it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So the future for you or for companies that are selling systems like Energy Circle, I mean, is that future competition where the big boys are going to, start selling their own, you want to buy our power, you buy our meter, and you buy our service, and look, you can check out your power on the internet.
Absolutely.
Squeeze out the little guy.
Absolutely, it is. But at the same time, I think, this market will evolve, and I think that's one of the important, one of the things, we've talked about what exists today.
Yeah.
And, in some ways, we ought to talk about what doesn't exist and should. Right.
Yeah. What is the future of this?
And so Dan Riker at Google, their head of climate change, and I have talked, and I agree with what Dan is saying. We need a ubiquitous $50 simple device that transmits to Google Power Meter, right? That when you take it to that level of price point, you make the installation simple. It's just a simple little Wi-Fi box that goes, that attaches with the CT clamps, has a Wi-Fi box, connects to the internet, and you've got all that access. That's the killer app. That's mm-hmm. the one where we've got it down, and it shouldn't be that hard.
So is that 5 years away?
I think it's closer than that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a device that's sort of on its way that we really like, that we've tested, that's not really sort of ready for sale yet, called mm-hmm. Watt Vision, and mm-hmm. they have a website, wattvision.com, and it's mm-hmm. actually got some functionality now, and just, again, their strategy is really simple, great interface, see your data, and a really simple connection, and hopefully a price point that may start out at $100 or $150, but ought to be able to get down. And that's where I think this all needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Nice. When we talk about Google, and what about hardware? What about the big boys? Like, what about Microsoft and Apple? Are they throwing their hats in the ring?
Apple you never know, right? Apple's mm-hmm. obviously
yeah, yeah.
slightly secretive company.
Yeah.
I haven't found any electricity monitors in bars that, you right. know, that,
you'd
that think Apple...
That, you'd think there'd be an app for that. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there are some apps for that.
Are there?
One
okay.
of the things important to say about all these devices is where you read the data is going to... It's, you know, the e-monitor folks are working on an iPad application and an iPhone application mm-hmm. And so forth. And so I think that's all... You know, that's all coming. And at some point, really, it is about what I always thought of Google Power Meter is like Google Analytics. If you're on the web, you know, Google Analytics is a little snippet of JavaScript code that lives on a web page and reports data back. And so Google Power Meter mm-hmm. is kind of Google Energy Analytics, right? The only yeah. difference being it's not as simple as a piece of JavaScript. You got to have some device, some piece of hardware that sits in a house somewhere and reads data and spits it out. So I hope, frankly, that Google will step away from the simplicity of the widget that is currently Google Power Meter and step into something that's more, you know, got more interesting data. It's kind of like Google Analytics is, which is rich in sort of ways to slice and right. dice and so forth. And I think that's where it'll all go, right? That we're gonna interact with it on yeah. the internet. We'll interact with it on devices. If we want to go buy like a open source product like a Chumby, you know, I don't know if you've heard of this little product that is an internet connected little device, yeah. and that's a good way to sort of interact with your stuff. So I think that's where it'll all go, is you separate the world into, you know, the data loggers
mm-hmm.
that are connected to the internet, and then you've got just the whole world out there, and it's a great open source sort of phenomenon that we'll just we'll have lots and lots of ways to see it, and then the cool part is really what we do with that data, mm-hmm. you know, how you and I can compare each other and we can sort of compete and
my building's better than Phil's building, and we get into all that
exactly. I think more, you know, public data sets and more people that are that are building low energy buildings that and doing things like the 1,000 Home Challenge, where really it is all about, you know, real verified measurable energy. And how do we know? And people like us who are crazy enough to put our electricity use, you know, on the internet for everybody to see, and sure. not that that's for everyone, but you know, there's enough people that are doing that that it helps the overall cause.
Do you guys think LEED will kind of adapt to like there's sort of like a I've often thought it'd be really great if you had a tracking system like this, or like, you know, sort of like you've got with commercial projects, you have commissioning after the fact, or a year in, you've got commissioning, whatever. Do you think LEED is going to adapt so, like, you know, you get your LEED rating, and then for all the money that you paid for that, all that registration and all that administration, whatever, that you just have to, you just submit your reports, your data from this thing, and then you can, that silver that you feel,
jumps up to gold,
you
right.
feel, yeah. I was robbed, this house is going to outperform. These guys have no idea.
Yeah.
And then it performs like gangbusters.
Well,
and
you would think.
I would think. I mean, do you think maybe that's... I'm talking to both of you.
I mean,
you
there's
the future?
Well, there's a podcast about the flaws of LEED.
Oh, I know. But yeah. I don't...
Well,
I'm
positive.
Well,
but
the Henry Gifford concept of the, you know, the plaque that's on, you know, that's got removable screws, right? So, we can take it away from you.
Yes.
Alternatively, if things don't perform.
No matter how much you pay. Right, yeah, yeah.
But there is the Cascadia Living Building Challenge,
yeah, that's right.
and 1,000 Home Challenge, where you have to prove, you have to do a year of this stuff.
Right, it's not
before
just...
Before you get anything. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's got a lot more validity. You've got to really...
It does to me, too. And
Passive House, incidentally, doesn't require that, which is interesting.
Right. That is interesting.
Yeah,
that's true.
You just to, and it's just a blower door. But I love the idea that
because I think that would change everything. I mean, because one of the essence of what you're talking about is it's sort of like, you know, every house is like a custom built car, and we say, here's your keys.
Yeah.
Hope the brakes work. Off you go. Enjoy.
Right.
And you know, it's just sort of like, and now once you're on the road, it's more than that. It's maintenance. It's service. It's testing. It's like, you know, you don't sell the first car you make.
Yeah.
You sell like the 100th car or whatever. I don't know.
Well, the car analogy is good, right? A lot of people talk about the so-called Prius effect, right? Which is, you know, and before Prius is the, you know, a few different cars started to measure your miles per gallon in real time, right? You got BMW had this feature, and you could kind of see when you step on the gas, it goes down to 5 miles per gallon, right?
Yeah.
Now the Prius effect of, you know, what's your real time? That's exactly what we're talking about. It's really that dashboard concept. And
That brings me right into my six-digit idea.
Fantastic.
All
right.
Okay.
All right. All right. So you feel like we've covered this, guys?
Well, I have one more question that I think is really important. Okay.
All right.
So we talk about electricity. What about oil and gas? When do we get there? What are the biggest challenges, Peter? Why can't we do this? I mean, big question. Has anyone come close?
Well, to summarize the challenge of oil and gas is that, what you really ought to be measuring is the flow of the
fluid.
The fluid through, and you can't legally penetrate those lines, right? So that sort of frames the challenge. There's some workarounds.
Yeah.
Oil seems to be the one that's got the most promise because, for the most part, oil flow rates are the same on, the flow rate when it's on does not change. It's a constant flow rate. So if you know the nozzle size and you know that the thing's on, you can do a little bit of math and you know exactly what its usage is. Right. So I think there's real promise with particularly the e-monitor, if you get the furnace on its own circuit, and you know what the flow rate is, and you know when the circuit's on or when the circuit's off, then you just a little tiny bit of math. So that's got promise, and the e-monitor folks tell me that maybe this fall...
Really?
We could be talking oil monitoring.
Wow.
Yeah. Now.
That would be exciting.
Boy, technology moves quickly when people demand it.
That's
people
right.
Start to pay attention.
That's right.
It's very interesting.
And I think, and this is, I'm glad we're sort of closing on this point, it's so important that we figure this out. Gas is harder, right? Because it doesn't really have that consistency of nozzle size issue. And so Dan Riker even is telling, he stands up in front of the Gas Industry Association and says, we're looking for volunteers. We want to please come forward. And 500, out of 500 people in the audience, he says two people come and talk to him. It's
holy cow.
Unbelievable.
You'd
right?
think they'd be.
Yeah. Yeah.
All over that.
So I don't have a good sort of prognosis for the gas world as
And the boilers, they're modulating and all
right.
that, so it's...
Right. Now, it's a big deal for us, right?
Yeah.
We're in oil land here, and 80% oil
Maine. Yeah, we are.
Maine.
New England is
yeah,
oil.
When you talk about how buildings perform, you really want to know how much oil they use. Electricity is
that's
only...
Right.
only
Right, because heat that's for right. us up here, it's all heat. I mean, electricity is not to be scoffed at by any means,
right.
but...
Right.
Anyway.
So I think that's the next frontier. There's another frontier, though, and it's important to sort of bring this up as well, which is when do these devices sort of evolve from being measurement devices exclusively, things that are just mm-hmm. providing information, to being control devices. And so the cool thing about the e-monitor, for example, which is coming soon, we think, is connection to a couple of things. Connection to an internet thermostat. So you'd be able to remotely control your thermostat. There's some products on the market that do this now that are expensive, but this will be like a $100 add-on, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a remote. So you're staying late at the office, and you know what?
I don't need to heat the house.
We don't need the heat to come on. So you've got control over that. And then same thing with connection to a smart plug that might be connected to particular appliances. So we're sort of that day will come. And that's when, it's smart metering, the concept of smart metering and smart appliances without having to go replace your whole appliance, without having to wait 15 years for the utility industry at its, glacial pace to come around to actually delivering on this stuff. So that's pretty exciting stuff. And, I think it's coming. I mean, I don't want to...
Excellent.
Yeah, so I hate to sort of overpromise before things arrive.
That's okay. We're architects. We know all about overpromise.
Right?
We do that every day. We make stuff up. We'll have a team Monday.
Drawings done Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right on budget.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your big idea?
All right. Picture this, if you will.
All right.
All right. So there's a little monitor that sits in your kitchen table or your kitchen island. And
I always have a monitor.
Here's what
right?
it tracks, okay?
Yeah.
The unit, it's not kilowatts, kilowatt hours, it's dollars. And it's tied into your bank account.
Oh, this is scary.
Yeah. And so, you can actually, and it's a live real-time debiting of your bank account as you use energy. So, how about that for a behavior driver?
If you that would be a behavior
see the money
yeah.
in your bank account getting reduced second by second by second.
Wow.
We talk about this crazy concept and we get around it. If you had a slot in the wall instead of a light switch, you had to feed quarters into it to keep the lights on.
Yeah,
those lights would not be on all the time.
That's
you
right.
Think about it in a very different way. Just think. Lean into that a little bit. Huh?
Brilliant, Phil. That's good. I'm toasting you. There we go.
All right. And so let me build on that. So how about some carrots too? Like points for points for achieving, and so points that you could redeem at wherever,
incentives by your utility company and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You meet a certain goal or a reduction from the year before, so you can continue to meet these goals or something like that, and you get bonuses.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great idea.
I mean, what's clear is that the reductions we're achieving, right, taking into account all the externalities, are worth a lot more than the particular monetary savings that homeowner is achieving, right? Mm-hmm. So it's how do we compensate for that?
Very good. Phil, why don't you take us out, buddy?
I'd love to.
All right. Enough of this green architecture, cocktails, shenanigans. Give us a song so everyone can...
Well, gentlemen, it's been a
wind down.
Everyone can
wind down.
Wind down and sing along, perhaps.
All right.
Gentlemen, it's been an exciting week for me because the new Arcade Fire came out.
Woohoo! Yeah, I don't have it. This is hot. I mean, we're recording this on the 4th of August.
Yeah.
My sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Karen.
Happy birthday, Karen.
Yeah. So it's
banned from Montreal, which has become fairly ubiquitous in a very short period of time.
Yeah. If I know them,
they're a talented bunch. Chris knows them.
If I have a couple of their albums, then they're out there.
Yeah.
Well, a little known secret is they I think recorded their first album in Maine.
Did they really?
No way.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Someone challenge us on GBA if we're wrong, but I trust Peter. So all right.
Yeah. So they are from Montreal. They're not too far away.
Yeah.
The new album is called The Suburbs. And this is one of, I think, 8 different album covers, which is kind of cool.
That is cool.
Oh, really?
They're all sort of equally ugly pictures of suburbs.
Yeah.
So it's got this architecture, anti-architectural element, if you were.
Nice.
If you will.
Nice.
On the cover.
I'll probably get it from iTunes, so I'll never know. That's right.
You wouldn't record this from me. You would actually go out and buy your own.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right. I would buy it legally from iTunes and tell Phil, no. Thank you, Phil. I don't want to record yours. I want to give these guys the money they deserve.
That's right. Good man. They're still in a small label. They're unmerged, so merch needs all our money.
Oh, yeah. And we should talk to them. Just maybe if I hear back from them, we'll play the whole thing. Otherwise, we may have to fade out. But anyway, go for it. Tell me.
Okay. So the song is called Rococo.
Rococo.
Track 4. It's kind of fun.
It's kind of Baroque.
And it kind of is.
Yeah.
Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. We appreciate
thanks for having
it.
Lots of fun.
Really enjoyed it.
Phil, cheers. Chris, as always.
Yeah, cheers.
Lots of fun. See you next time. Let's go downtown and watch the modern kids. Let's go downtown.